community, something that's important to God's people. And, you know, we have three boys. I know they have a wonderful mother, and I'm not just saying because it's Mother's Day. But something that we had a lot of scripture hanging around our house when our kids were younger. Now, not so much, obviously. But the cool thing, parents, about having scripture hanging around the house, you know, on the wall, is like the Ten Commandments is a great thing to have up. So, like when your kid's acting up, it's like, hey, what does that say, right? Honor your father and your mother, and your days will be long on earth. Why? Because I'm going to take you out if you don't. And so, one of the scriptures that hung up in our kitchen, because we had three boys, and, you know, they were just saints, and they all got along all the time. How wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. How wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. So when they were kind of not getting along, we kind of say, hey, what about that? And, you know, we talk about a good mother. I would say that's one of the best things they want for their children is that they live together in harmony. You know, that they get along, especially not just growing up, but as adults and when they're long gone. And a good mother wants her kids to cooperate, wants her kids to share, wants to live in harmony. Well, what do you think about a good father, a good heavenly father, what he wants for his children? And his children are those that have received Christ. But he wants us to cooperate. He wants us to live in harmony. Because a verse that guides me for any church that I'm in is Ephesians 4:3. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Guys, our witness, not just in this local church, but beyond in the church universal, those that are fellow believers in Christ, is that we're known by our love, we're known by our cooperation, by our harmony. We're going to talk about that today. Now, some of you haven't been here for everything, and we're going through a series on what we believe. When I tell people who I am, I'm a Christian, I know why I'm a Baptist. And you know, if I have to choose between the two, I'm going to choose being a follower of Christ. And I think I can choose both. But what we've been doing here is what I've been finding is a lot of people become a part of a local body of believers, and they don't know what that local body believes beyond the core. We get Jesus right, we get salvation right, those are good. But then each specific body of Christ has certain things of how they operate. And I find what we're finding, and it's not about getting people to join a church, but we're seeing a lot of people, attendances going up in churches, and I'm talking the Baptist genre, but membership is going down. Now, again, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. That's what's going to count. But I want you to understand what we believe. And so what I'm going to be talking about here today is something very specific to Baptists. And it's something very specific. One of the reasons I chose to be in a Baptist church. I didn't grow up a Baptist. And again, if you think I'm preaching about being a Baptist, big deal. I want you to know the church you're setting and what we believe and how we operate. There was a little bit of tension Wednesday night when we were going through this because I talked about how we choose pastors, how we operate. Some people, it was Lou, thought I was leaving. And we were all scared. Okay? And I'm not leaving. But that right there, that conversation showed that a lot of times we don't understand how we operate. How we choose deacons. How we choose. So, if you might think this is a boring one, I don't think it will be. I want you to celebrate. And I want you to understand something. Again, it's not about the Baptist church, but the average Baptist church is our size. We're right in the zone of 70 to 100 people. And what reminds me of our church, sometimes people look at little churches and think, well, they can't do anything. What we're going to talk about today is what little churches can do together. And the thing that guides me about our church, if I describe it, is little as much where God is involved. So many times we think we've got to be big, but it's all on how we cooperate. It's all on how we work together for the kingdom. So we're going to look at that today. And so sometimes we struggle to understand, if I had a question today, why are you here? Why are you a Baptist? And I'm not talking about you're here because mom or this or that, but part of this. And you need to know. Sometimes you struggle to understand. Sometimes you struggle to give or whatever. You can choose to go it alone or you can choose to go it together. And so your action step today is cooperate for the kingdom. Cooperate for the kingdom. We're better together. And your points are going to spell out the word co-op. C-O-O-P or coop, whatever you want to do if you're going to be that way. I know you already thought about that. Okay. But we're gonna look at the statement here. And then my wife keeps reminding me of things. Like, you know, it says slide one. There it is. Page 1 of 5. Yeah, whatever. Christ's people should be, as the occasion requires, organized such associations, conventions as may best secure. This is, I know you're just loving this on Mother's Day. Cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary advisory boards designed to elicit and combine and direct the energies of the people in the most effective manner. Members of the New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, development ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation with common ends by various groups of Christ's people. That is the core. Cooperation is desirable between various Christian denominations when the end to be obtained in itself is justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ, His Word, as revealed in the New Testament. Now again, I know you're excited. I give you the gist, and then we talk about this more in depth on Wednesday nights, but we need to understand why churches work together, why they come together, what do we need to be united under. Again, I shared the verse Ephesians 4:3 that God said, be diligent to preserve the unity, be diligent to cooperate, be diligent to get along. And this involves spiritual harmony, it involves voluntary cooperation, and it's for a common purpose. It's for the cause of Christ. So your first villain is kingdom people, we believe in cooperation. We choose to work together for the kingdom. We choose to work together. Some of you may have grown up in some churches that wouldn't have anything to do with anybody else. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I've been around some of those, and I don't know that I've been a part of one. But, you know, cooperation, we choose to work together for the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says this, for we are co-workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Talked to somebody the other day, and they're like, oh, I'm not about organized church. I'm so sick of hearing that excuse. And yes, it's an excuse. Go to Acts and tell me God did not start the church. And then go on further where Paul says, don't forsake the assembly yourselves together. The church is the body of Christ. And God initiated it in the New Testament. And so when you're not a part of the church, it's not just the fact that you know other Christian people, but we need each other. Notice what he says. You're God's field. You're God's building. How can you be a co-worker when you like the Facebook post, I can be alone with God out in the wilderness? I love hiking. I love being alone with God. But he created us, Mark 12, 30 and 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wish it would stop there. But the second commandment is just as important as this. Love your neighbor as yourself. He designed you for a relationship with him, and he designed you for a relationship with others. And we might say the relationship with God's easier, maybe. But when we have to deal with people, that's a whole different ballgame. He calls us to be fellow laborers to help. And for the gospel. And you see how this works out in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 11 here, where he said, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believe, and each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to God's grace that was given you, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder. Another builds on it, but each one is to be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid, the foundation of Jesus Christ. I encourage you this week to go back and look at that, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 11. It shows that, yes, we all have gifts, and yes, we all labor differently. We build on the foundation of Christ, and we're working together. This is not my church. This is not your church. It's God's church. And while it's nice to like pastors and stuff like that, you know, it's not about me. This church goes on whether I'm here or not. This church goes on whether you're here or not, but we are co-laborers for the kingdom. A common goal that we talked about last week was giving, and we give for the gospel. And this is cooperation. Cooperation is not a business plan. It's a voluntary act. And like I said, God loves a cheerful giver, and he doesn't need your money. It's not about the pastor telling you to put money in the plate or whatever. That's between you and God. But you're missing out, and it's way more than money in your life. But we're going to get into specifically how we do some of that here, because I want you to understand. I go back to majority of churches that are Baptists don't understand how they operate. And so when they hit something, they're like, what's that about? For it is a means to an end for worldwide kingdom work that we share our, and we do it with anybody to get the gospel out there if we share faith, values, and a common worldview. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We see examples of the body of Christ working together all throughout the Bible. In Ezra 1, verses 3 and 4, any of his people among you may his God be with him, and may he go to Jerusalem in Judea and build the house of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. Let every survivor, wherever he resides, be assisted by the men of that region with silver, gold, goods, and livestock, along with the freewill offering from the house of God in Jerusalem. You see, there was a need to build the temple, and you saw the need for the people that were building the temple, and guess what? Everybody came together. Make no mistake, America's the fourth largest lost nation in the world. That's not good. But America is also the most giving nation in the world, and that is squarely based on, it was founded on Christian beliefs and on giving. And even if people do not believe in Christ, America is one of the most giving nations whenever there's a need. That comes from the concept of what God has taught us in his word. There was a need, and so they filled it. We see this in the church and its vision. And almost 6 years ago, I think I'm completing my 6 year, the thing about it is, this was the first sermon that I preached, and I remember in a church I was in as pastor for the first time. I mean, I've done other ministry, obviously, and somebody was asking me, what's your vision for the church? I don't have a vision for the church. This is the vision for the church that God established, and this is how you measure if a church is doing well or you're doing what you need to do. And it's Acts 2, verses 44-47. It's the first sermon I preached here 6 years ago, and it's still how we measure, or how I measure. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed proceeds to all in need as they had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. And they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And every day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Now, that is a whole sermon itself. I'm not going to get into that. And then if you read that the wrong way, you're going to think you're talking about some isms. It's not talking about socialism. It's not talking about communism. It's God. And what God says, He says, if you can work, work. He has standards for things, but we're not talking about people not working. We're talking about when there's a need in the body, we help. And we love. And we do life together. This is the vision for the church working together. Your next fill-in, this means cooperation takes ongoing spiritual harmony. How wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. That does not happen by accident. A wooden spoon helps, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Okay, I'll let you think about that. You kids can ask, wooden spoon? Okay, all right? The ongoing spiritual harmony. You got to keep working at it. You know, it's just not one and done, but if we're going to cooperate together, us humans that try to make our own choices make it sin or self into our decisions, and it gets hard to cooperate. And so We got to stay really close to God. We got to stay really close to each other. And we got to stay fixed on the goal. We're going to talk about that. How to be diligent. It doesn't say, hey, be unified where you can. Be diligent. Work hard at it. At the core, it happens on a local level. Our church is organized as a congregation. And that's a local body of believers that are directly responsible to God's authority and to the church. And so what I want you to understand, I'm not putting any other church structure down. We don't have a pope. We don't have a bishop. We do not have an overseer. After this sermon, you may have a vote, but you decide who you call as deacons. You decide who you call as pastor. You decide how you give of your time and talent and money, this body. You find that in Acts chapter 6. You find the pastors working with the congregation to call deacons. And that's called congregationalism. That is where you're setting today. And if somebody's not following God, or if a church is not following God, if a pastor's not following God, or if the deacons are not following God, if we're not united under the core things, then this is why we're in the situation we have in the American church today. So that's who we are, congregation-led. A local church is responsible directly to God and His authority. No one is over us other than God. No one makes us work together. We work together voluntarily. We work together for a common conviction for the cause and common values. And always voluntarily we work. It's not based on cohesion or coercion. Nobody makes you. I have to be really careful when God lays something on my heart to talk to somebody. Oh, pastor, ask me. I don't care if you say no. I'm just saying what God told me. Maybe I should talk to somebody about this. But voluntary. We're all here. So voluntary association. We also do that with churches that unite together in common beliefs in order to get stuff done way more than we could alone. Specifically, rather than an authoritative structure. Again, I'm not trying to put any other structure down. And it's not to reduce it to money. But a lot of structures, everything that every decision that's made goes higher up and somebody tells them what to do. Now, this may be scary me telling you this, but you're autonomous. You do whatever you want, but if it's unbiblical, I'm going to dust my feet and write Ichabod over the front. I'll get a marker and write Ichabod. I'll have to look it up, and that means the glory of the Lord has left this place, and I'll go on. But if I wouldn't just leave because if the place was unbiblical, then we've got a problem that maybe I didn't deal with. You see what I'm saying? We're autonomous. Nobody makes us do something, but we better hold to God and we better hold to His Word. And so we choose to associate with other churches. We choose to put our stuff together so we can do more together. And that is our association, our state, our convention. Working together is an ongoing, that's your next fill-in, an ongoing voluntary cooperation. So we cooperate because we do better. We've got to be following God's spiritual harmony, and then we don't do it because the head office tells us to. Head office can't tell us to do anything, but we do it because we can do more together. I'm going to get specific on that here in a little bit. But what's the goal of all this? The great objects of the kingdom. We cooperate not for the sake of just cooperating, but we cooperate for the gospel. That's why we do it together. And we... A few weeks ago, we talked about the Great Commission that Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples and to teach them everything. And so that's why we got to make sure that we get Jesus right and we get the gospel right. And those churches that do that, or those individuals that do that, we can cooperate together. We'll unpackage that here in a moment. We can do more together than we can do alone. This cooperation starts with us, like I said, the local church, to fulfill the Great Commission. And all of it's done in the name of Christ. Whenever we do anything, we do this because Christ loves you and He loves us. And this is what He's done for us. And it's all done to grow and extend the kingdom of God. Not Bass Chapel, not any church's name. It's to extend the kingdom of God. Cooperation requires a lot of unity, like we said. Cooperation is desirable between Christian denominations who have a common purpose, the gospel, and a common end, to attain. And it doesn't violate our conscience. And so there's no compromise of loyalty to God's word. So I'm going to go back and say this. When can we associate with other churches that are not, that are a different denomination? And I don't always hit it, but your pastor, I want you to know, we're kind of in between two towns here, Fairgrove and Stratford, but I try to be a part, at least, of the ministerial alliances, and every ministerial alliance I've been a part of so far, and wherever God has planted me, the reason I've been able to associate as a representative of our church is because they get the gospel right. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's salvation through Christ alone. And if there was ever anything that was against his word, then I would just tell you, look, we can't be a part of that. But I want you to understand, I believe both minister alliances in both towns are very solid. And that's why we can do things together. Sometimes we'll have the chili cook-off and different things like that where other churches come together and we do it for the kingdom. Over in Stratford, they have a lot of like the Easter and the Thanksgiving services where the churches come together and they have a meal. And those offerings go that when there's somebody in need in Stratford, that money goes to help them, and it comes from the local churches that are cooperating together. And the reason we cooperate together is because it doesn't violate our conscience, and it's about the gospel, and it doesn't compromise his word. Real cooperation is grounded in a common commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ and common obedience to the Bible. And again, we may have some differences, but that's their preference in how they interpret. They get Jesus right. They get his word right. We can come together for the gospel. This is why we don't join with denominations that don't embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and don't affirm the authority of Scripture. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but we're in a society now. I'm not trying to pick on the Mormons, but it's a cult. And I'm not trying to be mean, and we can go into that, but we're now in a society that can't see that, because especially in the West, we have a lot of people that are part of Southern Baptist churches that are joining the Mormon church. It's a cult. They're way nicer to me. They do better stuff than I do, but they got Jesus wrong. And I remember, you know, my son telling me about the fact that the area where he's ministering wanted to do a Christmas kind of event together, and the Mormons wanted to be involved. And a church that they've associated before that believe Christ is the way, believe in the Bible, wanted to include the Mormons. I'm not going to pick on the Mormons. I'm not going to beat up the Mormons, but it's clearly a cult, and I'll discuss it with you later. That's one example of if you don't know the word and your gospel of Christ is not right, we can't associate with people that don't recognize Christ as fully God, fully man. And I said associate. I think do anything with people. I didn't say that. But I'm saying as a church to come together, that muddies the water and it confuses the gospel and it taints the Bible. If I made you a batch of brownies and I went out to my yard and picked up something my dog left and just put a little speck of it in the brownie mix, and then I bring the brownies to you and say, hey, I put a little speck of what I found my dog left in my yard in the brownie mix. Here's some brownies for you. Hit or miss. Maybe it might get you. Would you eat the brownies? I wouldn't. If you did, I would be like, you're weird. But that's what we're doing when Jesus Christ is not the only way to the gospel, and his word, all of it, is not the base. And that's who we associate. That's who we give money to and our time and talents. And that's the problem with the American church. They're eating brownies with a little bit of in it. Okay? this is why. So we don't associate with those churches that don't believe Christ is not the only way and his word is the only biblical worldview that we look upon. The purpose of working with a group is to extend the kingdom. We don't operate as a group that denies the gospel or denies the Bible as the whole word of God. Your next fill-in, we cooperate with anyone who prioritizes the kingdom purposes. In other words, Christ, his word. How do we do this practically? So we're going to talk about this for a minute. How do we see this? We talked about last week, It wasn't just about what we give in the plate, but our time, our talent, all to God, giving the first fruits. But this, what we're talking about uniquely, is a Baptist thing. And what's interesting, I'm not here to brag about Baptists. I know why I'm a Baptist. I made that decision as an adult. I'm a Christian. I know why I'm a Baptist. But I want you to understand what's unique about Baptists, and it's why I am a Baptist. And if you're something else, that's fine too. I'm finding a lot of other denominations have taken this unique thing on themselves because it works. It's just all truth is God's truth. So we have a thing. It's called the cooperative program. I think we have some slides here. Okay. And so the cooperative program was started 98 years ago, 1925, and it's still going strong. And the cooperative was a plan to cooperate and provide financial support for ministry and missions in an organized, systematic way. And we'll unpack that in a minute. So let's go to the next slide. I know this is the most exciting Mother's Day sermon you've ever had, but the thing about it is, hey, sharing, cooperating, why am I here? So this is that money in the plate. Again, we could choose not to do anything. But that money and time and stuff that we do, part of it goes to this, guys. Church members giving back to local churches, to state missions, and to missions and ministries around the world. Let's go to the next slide again. So, and if you think I'm about money and showing off, I could care less about that. I just want you to understand when we do stuff together. World missions, 73% goes to that. Executive and operating, 2.9. I'm glad that that's small. Christian ethics and religious liberty in Washington, D.C., and places where they're debating things about life and that are important, we put money towards that for people to be there and represent and say, hey, this is wrong, or we need to stop, or there's a group of people that believe this. And theological, you may want your money back on this one, but 22%. It goes to seminaries and schools. The seminary I went to, that made my tuition half because you give. You didn't know you did that. It's not about doing this. I just want you to understand how we operate and what we're about. And so we choose to cooperate together. It allows us to unite and cooperate in a single unified budget. And so where does it go? It goes, like I said, to international missions, to North American missions, to seminaries, to colleges. And so now what about us? And again, a lot of times I don't like talking about money because I don't want anybody to think we're bragging. But some of you may sometimes where's that money go? Well, one, it goes to your air conditioner right now and the fans on and all that kind of stuff and the lights. But I want you to understand, everything that we put in, 2% goes to these areas. So let's look at last year. It goes to the cooperative program. It goes to all that. And that last year, that was about $3,100. I'm kind of, abbreviated. And then we talk about foreign missions. We used to call it foreign missions, international missions. You know, I grew up where a missionary had to raise money on their own. This is why I'm Baptist. Because I would see them be in a mission field and God using them and they'd run out of money. Or a church would support them and then that pastor would leave and the new pastor would come in and he didn't know the missionary. He didn't know what they were doing. And suddenly that guy lost his support. And so these families were having to spend money on coming back to just keep their support. One of the biggest reasons I'm a Baptist is because of Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. Because we give an offering once a year at Christmas. And it goes to fund missionaries to take care of them and leave them on a mission field. We gave about $1,200 to that. And then Annie Armstrong, we were talking about last year, a little over $1,600 for North America missions, for new church starts, for different things that are going on. And then whenever there's a disaster or something you're dealing with, everybody here is looking for a safe place to give money that you know will go to help them. And we even have an organization called Send Relief where we can give money just automatically. And so like Ukraine, like when you guys are looking for places to safely give money that you know that's going to get to them, we have it within our organization. And again, they don't control us. It's just a safe, organized thing. We gave $1,300 to help Ukraine. And then locally, we have an association of churches. It's kind of view it like counties, but it's not. The Baptist churches in the area, and we're part of Green County Baptist Association. And we, you go on a mission trip that's sponsored by the association, and they do various things abroad and together. They bless pastors. They bless you as a church. And we get to that, and that's about 3,100. And then the children's home. We've got a children's home where we help those foster kids and those that don't have parents, and we give to that also. And then for some of you that are getting older, there's an old folks home. So we won't get into that. But again, that wasn't that funny, but for some of you, so. But again, go back to a good mother. A good mother wants their kids to live in harmony. A good mother wants them to fellowship. And so while that's loosely tied, we fellowship and give to those that believe Jesus Christ is the only way, that his word is the only thing that we need. And we cooperate as a church, and we cooperate with other churches for the kingdom. Why? Because let's go back to this. If us as Bass Chapel is just like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to do it all ourselves. Yeah, we could do a little bit, but what happens when we get together? And you know what? One of the biggest reasons I became a pastor, and if you go back and say, that was quite another day, son. Hey, we're just going through you, okay? But one of the biggest reasons I became a pastor, and I did youth ministry for 15 years, I probably retired, maybe I should have. Okay, but here's the deal. Is nobody was telling the whys. And when I'm discovering in the American church, there are people that have been saying the peace for years and walking with God, and they don't understand why we do so. God calls us as Christians to cooperate together. So what can we do with that? I don't want anybody to join a church. Join a church is not going to save you. But we see biblically that there's a time to become a part of a local body. How it works here, if you receive Christ as Savior and Lord and follow and believe his baptism, you can be a part of this imperfect body. But joining a church and giving in a plate won't save you. You need to join the kingdom of God. We give because he gave to us. And for the rest of it, you might say, well, what was that sermon about? Or was it bragging or this? No, that was not my intent. I want you to understand, to be transparent, what we do together. And maybe for some of you today, you Christians that are Lone Rangers, maybe God's telling you, stop going alone. How wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers live together and sisters live together in harmony. As we stand to our feet and have a time of invitation, God just may be challenging you right where you're at to like, hey, I need to stop that attitude of, oh, where does that all go? I may need to give this, or I may need to do that. Whatever God has called you to do, be obedient to today and this week. Lord, I ask that you look at our lives, and I pray help us to cooperate. I know there's a lot of times that there's people that are difficult, but you say that we're going to be known by our love. And so if there's anything in us that is choosing not to live in harmony, or choosing not to, or if we're doing something out of have to and not voluntarily, Lord, may we lay it down, and may we focus on you, and may we be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In your name, Jesus.